السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاة والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, once again we have a nikah, and as I explained on previous occasions, that this is one ibadat which does not end. All other ibadat, they have a termination. Unless, of course, there is talaq, this ibadat does not end. Namaz will end the moment the person makes salam. The fasting will end the moment the person makes iftar. The zakat ibadat will end the moment the person gave his zakat. And the hajj ibadat will end the moment the person has completed the rites of hajj. But when it comes to nikah, then from the time that the person undertakes this beautiful institution of nikah, then it goes on and on until his dying day. And then after that, even in jannat, if both enter into jannat, then this marriage will continue. That's the kind of ibadah it is. Then again, the more I ponder and reflect over it, it seems that it does not seem to end. Even when the person is making namaz, at that time too, he is still married. When he's making hajj, at that time, it doesn't mean his nikah has ended, he's performing hajj, but this ibadah of nikah is continuing. In the same way, when he is giving zakat, he is still a married person. And when he is fasting also, he is still a married person. So this ibadat of nikah has got all the other ibadat also in it. Then of course, in some other ibadat, for example, if a person has to speak in namaz, if the person is making namaz and he starts talking to somebody, like sometimes we see some very, very humorous things happening. There was a person that was making salat in front of me. He was making his sunnat namazes. We were sitting behind him. We were just waiting for the farz namaz to commence in the Haram Sharif, in Makkah Sharif, a few years ago. And the person's cell phone rang. So first he tapped like that, but it didn't go off. After some time it rang again, and again he tapped, it didn't go off. So the third time he took it out, and he said, "I'm in namaz." And he put it back again. So his namaz didn't even end with that speech. But in reality, if the person speaks in namaz, then we know that his namaz ends. Of course, there is a great lesson for all of us. Unfortunately, we are unconcerned about the dignity of a masjid and the dignity of the Haram Sharif and the Rauza Mubarak of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. The kind of musical tones that people have on their cell phones, and unconcerned that they have entered the Haram Sharif, then we hear the Bollywood, Hollywood music right by the Rauza Mubarak or in front of the Kaaba Sharif. Now we can just imagine that what kind of ibadat that is, or will that gain any kind of acceptance by Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, or will it bring the wrath and anger of Allah Ta'ala? So if somebody did forget, in the first place we should be alert, we should be cautious. If we enter into courthouses, we enter into other such kind of places where they say all cell phones must be switched off, then we make sure that we switch off our cell phones. When we enter into the houses of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then at that time we should be even more conscious that this is the house of Allah Ta'ala. It's not a place where we get all kinds of musical tones playing. So even if a person had forgotten for some reason or the other, accidental mistake, then too, if it was just a normal tone, then it is, we will say, lesser of the two evils. But knowing that the person has got such kind of tones, how can it ever be acceptable? So therefore, we should make sure that we switch off this type of tones, change it to something else. But that's not my subject. So what I was saying is that if the person has to speak, for example, if he is in namaz, then we know that that namaz ends. But in namaz, whilst the person is performing his salat, this nikah ibadat continues. It doesn't end. Clearly indicating that it is an ibadat. It is not just a customary practice. We have reduced it to that, whereas it is a great ibadat. All the legislation of the countries of the world, America, China, Japan, Hong Kong, or Europe and America, or England, wherever it may be, the powerful governments of the world too, if they had legislated for the Muslim, that you can just take any woman and live with her, for the Muslim, it would not have been acceptable at all. Although their legislation now allows anything and everything for those who don't believe, but for the Muslim, we would have never accepted the legislation of America or any other power of the world. We would have said that what does Islam say, what does Sharia say? Would any one of us have accepted to give our daughter just like that to any person? Unless, of course, the person has got no haya and no shame. But we all would have said that what is the hukam of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? What does Islam say? Is this permissible or not? Now look at this law or this legislation or this Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's ihsan upon us. Knowing that we have got a kind of a passion and there must be some outlet and fulfillment of this desire and passion. For if we are not going to have any kind of outlet and way to fulfill this desire, then we will end up exactly like what's happening to the Catholic priests now. That celibacy vow that they have taken, of what worth is it? It's not natural. So Islam is a deen which is natural. It takes into consideration every aspect of a human being's life. For everything, there is some kind of guideline. There is a guideline with regards to amusement. There's a guideline with regards to joke, play, laughter, entertainment. For that also, there's a guideline. It's not that Islam stifles a person's life, that you can't do anything. Progress in business, Islam doesn't stifle at all. It gives us so much of guidelines on how to make progress. Look at the number of chapters in the books of jurisprudence. All this mudharaba, musharaka and everything else, partnerships and everything that is there. For what is it there? It shows that it doesn't stifle our progress. And I've mentioned this many times that you can go up to the top level, go to the highest position in the land also, Islam doesn't stifle there. Those people who will be given shelter under the shade of the throne of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah, one of them is a sultan who is adil, a just ruler. So I've explained this many times that this clearly indicates that even if the person becomes a ruler, he becomes a king of the place, so he's on the topmost position of the land, it doesn't stop him. As long as he's just, he is fair, he is honest, the person is not just taking away the sweat or is not making use of the laborers and not making use of the citizens of the country, just for his own palaces and everything else, the person is very, very fair in his ruling, is just, then on the day of Qiyamah he will get a shade under the throne. So Islam is not something that stifles a person's progress. But of course there are going to be some regulations which we may not find very comfortable. But there is goodness in it because Islam does not look at one individual. Islam looks at whole of mankind. We will just look at ourselves and be very selfish. And say, if only this was allowed, then it was very good. But we know that whatever Islam prohibits, either it is harmful for the individual, harmful for the family, and harmful for the society, harmful for the nation. Only those things Islam prohibits, otherwise it doesn't prohibit. So this nikah, the institution also, it is something that has been given to us as a gift. And it has been declared an ibadat, a worship. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala becomes pleased. So I was discussing that if a person has to talk in namaz, we will say that that talk will invalidate his salat. But look at this ibadat of nikah. If you talk to your wife cheerfully, happily, the more you talk, the better. Like that, we will say that talk less. But with the wives, if the person is maintaining a good relationship, then that is something that is desirable. We must have such a relationship with our wives. But of course, it will only come about when both parties have got taqwa in their lives. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that hadith sharif, it is very, very clearly mentioned. مَسْتَفَادَ الْمُؤْمِنْ بَعْدَ تَقْوَى اللَّهِ. That means after having the taqwa in his heart, he's got piety, he's got taqwa, or he's got khawf of Allah ta'ala and muhabbat and love of Allah ta'ala. So then, if he has been blessed with a wife, that when he looks at her, she pleases him. When he looks at her, she pleases him. And if this person has to take a qasam, if he has to take a qasam and say that you will do this thing or that thing, as long as it's within the parameters of Sharia, then that wife will undertake it. And if he is gone out somewhere, some parts of that hadith sharif, that if he is gone out somewhere, then she looks after his wealth also, and she looks after her person also. That means she doesn't engage in adultery. Now, we want this to be from our wives, then what about ourselves? It doesn't mean it's only from the wives that we have to expect this. What about when we are traveling to China and when we are traveling to other parts of the world and when we are in the privacy of our hotel rooms, then what are we doing there? Do we also remain chaste? Do we also have the khawf and fear of Allah Ta'ala? Just as we want them to be pious and righteous. Therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, his one companion, Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala an, on one occasion he started tearing, he was crying. Now this crying has for different reasons. We only cry upon the loss of our child, or the wife, or the mother, or father, or the property, or some gold and silver. And there's nothing wrong if a person has to cry over the loss of his child, over his wife, it's natural. There's nothing wrong, I'm not saying that something wrong in there. But what I am saying is that when will we cry over our sins? Is it not something over which we also have to cry? Over which we also have to shed tears? The most pious ones, and leave the most pious ones, Sayyidul Anbiya, Tajdar-e-Madina, Ahmad-e-Mujtaba, Muhammad Mustafa, Jameelon mein ajmal, kamilon mein akmal, sharifon mein ashraf, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whose stage could be higher than his, after Allah the greatest. But yet look at the tears that he is shedding, the istighfar that he is making. Over what was he making? Was there any sin that he had committed? Look at Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, how much of tears he is shedding. Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala just looks at a grave and his beard gets wet with his tears. So they thought as a lesson that in spite of piety and in spite of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even giving them the glad tiding that you are jannati, they are still shedding tears before Allah ta'ala. So therefore these people, they cried over not only sins, even if they didn't have sins, they felt that we were not able to do justice to our ibadat. So Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawah on one occasion is crying. And as soon as his wife sees him crying, she also starts crying. I'm trying to show you what kind of muhabbat there was between husband and wife. That as soon as she saw him crying, she also started tearing and crying. When he asked her the question, that why are you crying? Why are you crying? What is it that makes you tear? Then what did she say in response? She said, exactly whatever makes you tear makes me tear. She didn't even find out what it was. But she says, whatever makes you cry makes me cry. That was the kind of relationship that they had. That my husband could be in pain, he could be in difficulty, he could be having some hardship and problem. She doesn't know why he was crying. So she just said, whatever makes you cry makes me cry. Shows what kind of bond they had. And when can that bond come? It can come only when the husband is also kind, gentle, is honest, is truthful in his relationship with her. As somebody said, marriage is based on two things. One is love and one is trust. So the woman said, yes, it is based on two things, love and trust. That I don't love him and he doesn't trust me. So we have the two ingredients. So now here there was both love and there was trust. He said, whatever makes you cry makes me cry. He said, it makes me cry that how am I going to cross the full sirat on the day of Qiyamah. That's what makes me cry. So the point is that look at the kind of relationship they had. Therefore in the ayats of the nikah, now these are things that we repeat every time. But we must take lessons from it. Ya ayyuhal ladheena amanu taqullah. Now why are we repeating ittaqullah, ittaqullah? For ya ayyuhan nasu ittaqu rabbakum. Because marriage is an occasion of happiness. It's an occasion of happiness. There must be happiness when there's a marriage. And when it's mayyad, then they must be crying. Doesn't mean that when there's a mayyad, then they will start laughing and joking. And when it's marriage, then we sit down and cry. Sharia doesn't want that. It wants a balanced life. Very, very balanced. But when it comes to occasions of happiness, then at that time the danger is that we forget Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We forget that this is an ibadat. It is nikah. It is an ibadat. It is not something that only we restrict to the nikah part of it and say that is ibadat. And the rest of it is as we wish to conduct. That is where our mistake is. And that is why we can't seem to find that happiness. Homes are on fire. Husband-wife relationships. Ask those people who are dealing with this type of marital problems that what is the condition. So if we are going to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then believe me, I can guarantee you I'm in the masjid here and with wuzu and it's Jummah day, that if a person will try to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in every aspect of his life, then he is the one who will give happiness into that heart, irrespective of outside conditions. The person can be sick, he can be ill, he can have patched clothes, he can have be living in a shack or in a hut. But Allah Ta'ala will give him a kind of sukoon and happiness in his heart. This sukoon, what is sukoon? As-sakina, hiya noorun yastaqirru fil qalb. It is a noor which comes into the heart, establishes itself in the heart. Because our hearts are the runways of the airport. If you do not have a runway, where is the aeroplane going to land? So if our hearts have been destroyed with the love of evil things, if we have given our hearts to everything else but Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so then where is that sakina and that sukoon and that tranquility and that happiness going to come? That little while of happiness in some sin that I have mentioned so many times, lazzat-e arzi mili izzat-e daimi gayi. How many times we have said, Mana masriyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Even last night I mentioned this couple. Mana masriyat mein mujrimana thodi lazzat hai. Magar us palne wale se ye kaisi bagawat hai. Zara si der ki lazzat hamesha ki nadamat hai. Janaza abru ka dafn karna ye kya himaqat hai. There's no time to explain it. But there's just a little while of pleasure, but you ask the person within his heart, it's like a person who has been arrested and charged for murder. Now when he is charged for murder, you say this is a lovely air-conditioned room, and we'll give you biryani, and we'll give you roast, and we'll give you chicken and fish and anything that you desire. Will he ever enjoy it? He will eat it, but will there be real enjoyment in the heart? So if we are not going to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then that is what is going to happen. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us this beautiful institution, and it was meant to build up a bond with the wife and the wife with the husband, both fulfilling each other's rights. And we must remember that those rights have been given by Allah Ta'ala and His Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. It's not something that we sit down and think of ideas and thereafter we come to some conclusions. If the person fulfills the rights, then there will be muhabbat. And there must be this large-heartedness and forgiveness and overlooking. The moment we find that the wife has irritated us, agitated us, or she has said something that is going to cause us some kind of pain, then immediately we must look at our past and look at our sins and look at our evil actions and deeds which displeased our Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then we will find enough of it in our own lives. So then we must be prepared to overlook also. So therefore, when it's an occasion of joy and happiness, therefore at that time there's a danger that the person forgets that it is Allah Ta'ala who made this easy for us. It is He who planned for us. It is He who found this relationship the best for us with whichever woman we have chosen as our wife, provided of course we did the right things. And if the person abstained and stayed away from all courting and all other haram before his nikah, then inshallah the person's marriage will be a very, very pleasing one, very, very happy one. And if by mistake they did court and they did engage in some haram, then make lot of tawbah and istighfar. Because the longer those courting marriages take place, the longer the courting took place, unfortunately most of them end in the court. So therefore we have to be very, very careful. نگاہ اقربا بدلی مزاج دوستاں بدلا، نگاہ اقربا بدلی مزاج دوستاں بدلا، نظر ایک ان کی کیا بدلی کہ کل سارا جہاں بدلا. In whatever relationship that we have, whether it's parents and children, or whether it is client and the trader, or whether it is the teacher and the pupils, in whichever relationship if you look at it, wherever you will find problem, it is because one of the two parties is not pleasing Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts hatred after that into the hearts. I mentioned this before too, and I have no hesitation in repeating, because it's a true incident that the woman phoned and said that my husband forced me and took me to see a cricket match when one of the foreign teams was playing here. And she says, I don't go to the cricket ground, but he said he had a complimentary ticket and he forced me and took me to the ground. And when I went to the ground, then I saw this one cricketer and he stole my heart. Finish. Now I hate my husband. I just don't like him. I don't want to be with him. Hatred has come into my heart. Now will we deny this? This is one case where the person says, so many others have said. I said, well then you must report to the police station if somebody stole your heart. So we can see when we displease Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now we will say, what is wrong with all these things? Nothing wrong. Well, nothing wrong, then be prepared for the consequences. Sometimes they may not say it to us openly, but their hearts are gone. When their hearts are gone, then how do we expect them to love us? How do we expect them to be honest and truthful? How do we expect them to be loyal? These are realities. We are not talking about fantasies and fairy tales here. So therefore, the person will have to have a large heart. And on these occasions of happiness, the person must still remember, I am the banda of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Tu hai banda khuda ki qasam. You are the banda of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. We are the slaves of Allah ta'ala. Whether we like it or not, the ground on which we walk, in whose control is it? The homes in which we live, in whose control is it? All our wealth and properties and everything, in whose control is it? What happened recently when all the recession took place? How many people committed suicide? So we must never be proud. Yes, use it. There's nothing wrong in richness if it comes in the halal way and the person uses it properly. Then there's nothing wrong. In the same way, if the person is poor, but he is still obeying Allah Ta'ala, then nothing wrong. Allah Ta'ala's eyes, he is still esteemed. Therefore, Sir Zafar, who was a poet, and he was also last of the rulers in the Mughal times, so he said a very beautiful thing. Zafar usko aadmi na janiyega, goho kaisa hi sahib-e-fehmo zaka. Zafar usko aadmi na janiyega, گوہ کیسا ہی صاحب فہم و زکا. جس کو عیش میں یاد خدا نہ رہا، جس کو تیش میں خوف خدا نہ رہا. How beautifully he said it. He says, Zafar, don't even think of that person as a human being. Even though he may have a chain of degrees, he may have a plenty of money, he may have a lot of qualification, and he may have a lot of skill, but he says, don't even consider him as a human being if he does not remember in his happiness Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Who is it that gave him that happiness? If he was paralyzed, if he was blind, if he was deaf, he was dumb. And of course, those people who are deaf, dumb and blind, it is a blessing sometimes in disguise. Allah ta'ala gives them very high stages. I'm not saying anything about that. What I'm saying is that if this person who has forgotten Allah ta'ala during his happy days, if Allah Ta'ala had taken away and snatched away everything, would we have been able to enjoy happiness? So he says, don't even consider him as a human being who forgets Allah Ta'ala in his happiness. And the person who does not have the fear of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala when he is angry. When he is angry at that time, he's got no khawf e khuda. He doesn't remember that Allah Ta'ala has got full control and power over me. And if I am going to do injustice in this anger of mine, then Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does not tolerate injustice. And this is one of the major weaknesses that we are facing at present, that we always talk about injustice at the government levels. There's no doubt those governments of the world who are doing injustice, they will be questioned. But at the same time, we forget about the injustices that we do to our wives, our children, our parents, our family, and the others that we associate with. That injustice we don't look at. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is very, very merciful, very kind, very forgiving, very compassionate, and He dearly loves forgiveness of the sins of the sinners who turn towards Him. Therefore we should never lose hope, never lose any kind of hope in His mercy and forgiveness. But all that is required is that we must ponder, reflect, where are we going? Which direction are we moving? Where is our life taking us? Are we just existing, or are we fulfilling the real purpose for which Allah Ta'ala sent us into this world and blessed us with Iman and Islam? A Muslim is totally different. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless these marriages that took place and all others who are married with happiness, with joy. May Allah Ta'ala unite their hearts in compassion, mercy, love and affection. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala bless them with the best of dunya and akhirah. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardship, pain, suffering and problem of mankind around the globe. And also, in particular, the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.